Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Bernard Bars with our final audio file for this web course. This is also our phenomenology lab for this week, week 11. And we will look backward a little bit and also forward to the next web course and to the future of consciousness studies. The song you just heard is one of my favorite songs. It is part of the Baquianas Brasileiras by Hector Villa-Lobos. And correct me if I said that wrong, Jorge Gonzalez, who's one of our members of the course. And it was sung by the great soprano Kathleen Battle, with Christopher Parkening playing the guitar. It is an amazing piece of music by the best performers I know, at least, in this genre. We will play the entire piece at the end of the recording as part of our PLAB. I'd like to encourage you to make this another one of your twilight experiments, because lucid dozing gives us an opportunity to explore our own consciousness with the least amount of censorship and editing and shaping and self-consciousness. Most of the time, we are a little bit too intent on making ourselves look good to ourselves, which is fine, but it's not what we're mainly trying to do here. The twilight state is interesting because it allows this wonderful spontaneous flow of imagery and thoughts. It takes us out of our ordinary experience without the need for drugs or even advanced practices like yoga or meditation. One of my experiences with this particular music is a kind of experience that I might call something like transcendence or something like an altered state of consciousness. Now, that doesn't mean anybody else will have that experience, but you might have that experience with dancing or sports or any other what has been called flow experience where you feel very smooth and very unself-conscious, very spontaneous and very able to do whatever comes to mind. And it has some of that quality of transcendent experiences, although, of course, we're not in a very good shape, at least scientifically, to say very much intelligently about higher states based on solid evidence. But we have a little bit. And in fact, I've posted two articles for you on the D2L website with copies at the PB Wiki site. The two articles are one by Antoine Lutz, who's done some of the really fun stuff electrical brain waves recording in advanced meditators, and he finds high levels of synchrony in the upper range of brain rhythms called the gamma range, which is just an arbitrary name for these brain rhythms. And if you want to know more about that, you might want to take a look at Dr. Henry Montanen's post also on the PB Wiki site, which explains about brain waves in a very elegant and simple way. So this time, I would like you to add just a little variation to the drowsy twilight task suggested by Dr. Henry Montanen and based on some very interesting ideas that people figured out around 1900. It is simply based on the fact that when we fall asleep, all of our external muscles relax. You will notice that if you are sitting up when you're feeling sleepy and suddenly your head drops down, which will often wake you up with a start. And this inhibition of the external muscles, what are called the skeletal muscles, because they control the skeleton, basically the arms and legs and the torso, the skeletal muscles become inhibited when we fall asleep, and that gives us a very nice feedback signal. Around 1900, when many people were very interested in exploring consciousness, they used this basic fact as a kind of biofeedback method. So this time, I would like to encourage you to sit comfortably in a nice, soft armchair with your arm raised, your forearm just upward. You could put your elbow on the arm of the chair so that you are comfortable, but your forearm is holding up against gravity. That's what consciousness explorers did in the years around 1900, because when they would go into a drowsy state, going in and out of near sleep, they would suddenly find that their arm had dropped on the soft arm of the chair. And that's because they had gone over that threshold into sleep from that twilight state. And that would obviously wake them up. They would then write down what they had been thinking a few seconds before, and then go back to the drowsy state again. And what's so really clever about this is that it gives us an automatic feedback from the moment of sleep so that we can recall, because our recall, of course, in sleep and dreams is very, very short. It's on the order of seconds. And so this gives us an opportunity to have a little feedback mechanism that allows us to remember the last 5 seconds or maybe 10 seconds of this twilight state. And then if we get too drowsy, it wakes us up because our forearm drops, and then we start again from the beginning and allow ourselves to hold the forearm up. And that will keep us a little bit closer to waking and being lucid. That is to say, allowing us to be aware of what we're doing and of allowing us to report or to scribble down whatever it is that we're experiencing. And then again, go through that cycle and just allow that to happen. And this time, I would like you to do that while listening to your favorite music. And you might want to try this wonderful piece by Villa-Lobos and Kathleen Battle and Christopher Parkening, which I think certainly is a piece that puts me in some kind of transcendent state, whatever it is, some extraordinarily wonderful state of peace and tranquility. And that is that's also a fun thing to explore, and I would like you to think of this as just enjoyable. So this was a great idea from 1900, when people didn't have computers or fancy equipment or EEG to monitor brainwaves. They just found this very nice little method of holding up your forearm and then allowing it to drop and wake you up so that you could write down exactly what you were experiencing. So I would encourage you at the end of this audio file to sit in a comfortable armchair and listen to the music, the complete song you heard in part of at the beginning of this audio file. Just raise your forearm while resting your elbow on the arm of the chair and allow yourself to drift. When your arm drops, just write down the thoughts you remember and go back to the lucid dozing state. And please feel free to share your twilight experiences with us using this beautiful music as the background to your experience. We will have both live and asynchronous discussion groups on the weekend. One of our discussion leaders, Alice Kim, has been missing her discussion group. So if Alice's people would like to let me know if they will be participating in discussions tomorrow, Saturday, or Sunday in my groups, please let me know. But first, let me discuss what we have learned in this course. I'm not going to review the course in great detail, but it would be good, I think, if you want to get an overview of where we have been and where we could be going from here. You might want to take a look at the beginning of the course and again at the middle and the end so that you have a sense of the direction we have taken. And what we are trying to do, obviously, is to build a connection between the consciousness that we experience every moment of the waking day And what we know from a third-party perspective or from a third-person perspective, and really also the second-person relationship aspect, because that is coming out, as you might expect, because it's so important, very, very powerfully in the brain imagery, for example. Human beings are social. We are interpersonal creatures. We are intersubjective creatures. And when you look at a mother looking at her baby, for example, in a brain scan, you find a very strong activation in that medial frontal part of the brain, which is extraordinary. And also, as it turns out, in evolutionarily more ancient parts of the brain. And we can go into that if you like, and I can certainly send you references on that. In terms of my personal feelings, there's always a sense of loss and termination, if you will, at the end of any course. And I want to thank you for making this an enjoyable and challenging experience. The discussions were particularly good, and I want to encourage everybody to participate in discussions at least one more time. You are also very welcome to send me feedback on your experience of the web course at my email address, bbars@comcast.net. On the technical end, we are now actively exploring weekly audio conferencing for the next course to build up more live participation and presentations the next time we do this course. We will do that in combination with visual website presentations to make this more of a lively experiential event for everybody. My complaint with the courses that we've done so far is that there's always this paradox of talking with real people with real consciousness through this rather awkward medium of the D2L discussion platform, teaching platform. D2L is a very good, reliable platform, which is why we've gone back to it. But we're hoping that audio conferencing, where everybody will be able to participate live in real time, is going to be a more productive medium for all of us when we do this again. We are planning to do this again, by the way, next year, maybe two times during the year, we'll see. And the first time will probably be in March. We'll probably begin in March. I'm very grateful, indeed, for our discussion leaders, Alice, Zoran, Brian, Benji, Dr. Henry, and behind the scenes, Abby, Thomas, Jim, and Dr. Katie McGovern. The most active discussion participants have also contributed very greatly to making the course stimulating and lively, and I want to thank all of you. I would personally, if you were sitting in front of me right now, I will just thank you in general. The next course will be called Consciousness 2, Dreams, Higher States, and the Brain. And the tricky thing about that is, what do we know about dreams, higher states, and the brain? And it turns out that we do know a little bit, and not nearly as much as I would like. Dr. Katie McGovern and I will also have a workshop at the coming Tucson conference called Toward the Science of Consciousness in April of next year. That will be on global workspace theory, and it will be a little bit more advanced than this course has been, but if you're interested, I think this course gives you excellent preparation for that. For those of you who would like to receive your certificate of participation for this web course, please contact Arlene at the Center for Consciousness Studies. It will be co-signed by Professor Stuart Hameroff and myself. So for this last week, week 11, I would like you to please read the last two chapters of the book, which particularly focus on what we believe to be the functions of consciousness. And we do believe that there are multiple functions of consciousness. Now, that is somewhat controversial because a lot of philosophers have argued that at various times that consciousness has no function at all, which would make it the only major biological phenomenon ever discovered that has no functions. So I'm skeptical about that, but that was a very, very powerful viewpoint, both in biology and in behavioristic psychology and in philosophy. It was strongly argued, and it's still believed by some people. On the contrary, I would suggest that consciousness has not just one function, but many functions, in the same way that all your other major biological adaptations have multiple functions. You can use your legs to walk, and you can use them to run, and you can use them to swim, and you can use them to dance, and you can use them to draw your name in the sand. So there are all kinds of functions that these major human adaptations can be used for. There is, interestingly enough, a very large scientific literature on the functions of sleep, which are very controversial because we're not quite sure why sleep is necessary. But nobody doubts that sleep has important biological functions. The only question is, what are they? The funny thing is that the question of the function of waking consciousness has been much more controversial than the question of the function of sleep, which is obviously unconsciousness. And we're beginning to get a handle, at least on some good ideas, for some evolutionary functions for consciousness as well. Some very interesting ideas have been proposed by some very highly qualified people, while I don't think we know the answer to the evolutionary function of consciousness, I think the quality of the discussion has gotten much, much better in the last several years. So this week we will also have readings about higher states, which occasionally I'm told should be called, quote, higher states. It depends whether you think they're higher or whether you are skeptical about the sense of the sense of superiority, the sense of betterness, the sense of advancement, and so on, that's associated with higher states. I'm happy either way, whether it's in quotes or whether it's not in quotes. There's one article by Lutz, which I've mentioned before, which observed high intensities of synchronized brain waves, which are very interesting. And then I have the abstract, which also suggests that somewhat similar findings in music. So there are interesting similarities among flow experiences, including being absorbed in music or sports or dancing or meditation. We don't have proof solid at this point, but we've got a little bit of very interesting evidence. So that's a real step forward, because it's been very hard to get really reliable evidence either on music or on advanced states of consciousness. So we're beginning to get a little bit of a handle on these things. And what's also important is that we're beginning to get a sense of why it's important to have these synchronized brain rhythms. The idea of brain synchrony now looks like it's a major brain mechanism. It's how the different parts of the brain learn to work together, and the usual metaphor for that is the orchestra of the brain, if you will, which can play a little bit out of tune and a little bit out of sync with each other, or it can get more synchronized and coordinated. There are important consequences of this kind of synchrony and coordination, which we will discuss in the next course. It's a little bit more complicated than we can handle right now, but it's not terribly complicated. It just needs a little detail. So, let me suggest that you go for the phenomenology lab at this point. I'm going to be playing the entire version of Bachianas Brasileiras for you, and please feel comfortable and allow yourself just to drift with it and to have whatever spontaneous experiences come up for you. You can try the arm dropping technique. It's fun, it's interesting, it's safe, and it might be revealing of whatever comes up in your own mind as a result of listening to it, or as a result of this course, or as a result of anything else that may be going on in your life. A big part of this course is self-exploration of your own consciousness, and I hope you will enjoy the exercise. And I would like to say goodbye to everybody, and hope to be seeing you around, maybe at Tucson, various other places, maybe at future courses, or whatever. I'm sure you will stay interested in consciousness, and I'm sure I will too. So goodbye, everybody, and here is the Villa-Lobos Bachianas Brasileiras.